My name's Deborah. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. I'm going to turn you around so they can see you now.
Okay.
Maybe.
Great. Okay. Wow. Oh. Just see a few people there. Hello.
Is it okay?
So, yeah, good to be with you. So grateful to be here. So grateful to be here. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. We did. It was different. It was the pandemic Thanksgiving, right? Anyway, step 10. Step 10. We've been up to this point very busy. Quitting drinking, finding God, giving ourselves to God, learning about our character defects, seeking emotional sobriety, making amends. It's been a whirlwind, really, hasn't it? That being said, in the big book, at the conclusion of the promises, it says, this thought brings us to step 10. Which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. So there's a couple things I want to say about that. The first thing I think that's really important is the word continue. To continue with the program that is out, that we have, the steps we've been taking up until now. For me, myself, since the very beginning, I have come across, met so many people who have relapsed, and the reason they always give is they stopped continuing. They stopped going to meetings, they stopped praying, they stopped doing all the things that are, I mean, they're not just suggestions. You have to do it. You know, you have to do it. You have to keep doing it. And that's where continue comes in at step 10. I mean, it's, we do all this work on ourselves. We learn a few things about ourselves. And it's you don't get a break, basically, is what I'm saying. There is no break. We've got to keep continuing because the work is, for me, anyway, the work has never been done. There's no arriving with the AA program. The other thing I want to mention is this sentence. We have entered the world of the spirit. It's a sentence or two after the one I just read. And it's such a interesting statement. We've entered the world of the spirit. And I was thinking about that. I thought I would look it up, the word spirit, and in the dictionary, which I did. And the word means conscious, an incorporeal being, as in non-material, as opposed to matter. And they give us a definition, the world of the spirit. So we've entered the world that is everything but material. The world of being in the present moment. The spirit world is, or as the spirit world is what I like to call it. The 12 and 12, oh, excuse me, before I go there, I just want to say in the big book, it does say that our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness, which is not an overnight matter. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God to remove them and discuss with somebody immediately, making amends if we've harmed anyone. And it says here, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor, If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We haven't even sworn off. And for me, that happened for me. That still is happening for me. It's a miracle because before I came to AA, I had the mental obsession with alcohol, and then it was gone after I came into AA and followed the program of action, taking the steps up to this point. And to me, for me, that is the biggest gift, the biggest promise. I mean, we read the promises at the end of the ninth step, but this is a huge promise for, I would think, just about every alcoholic, to be in a position of neutrality where we are not craving alcohol, or are we avoiding it? We're just okay. And, that's a huge relief. This step further goes on to say that every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. So it's, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And they talk further about, at this point we may be feeling already the flow of God's Spirit into us. We have become God conscious by step 10. Because this whole program is really, after all, about one thing, and that is God. The 12 and 12 has some excellent information in here. Step 10 is on page 88, talking about the emotional hangovers that I have experienced emotional hangovers, which are the result of today's excessive or yesterday's excessive emotions. And it's like any other hangover, but it's caused by, from inside, it's not caused by alcohol. That's why the quitting of the drinking is just the tip of the iceberg. Because we alcoholics, I know I'm not alone in this, have these emotions that rule our lives, and we think they're real and the be all and end all, and we react to the emotion and things get twisted up pretty quickly. So it says here, and this is true for me, it says here the spiritual axiom is that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. If somebody hurts us and we are sore, we are in the wrong only. Also, there is no justifiable anger because it only hurts me. My excessive emotion, excessive anger, excessive fear, those are the things that cause me to have an emotional hangover. And when these things crop up, I do ask God to remove them. Direct my attention to what He would have me be. Because I know that these are negative emotions that are not of God. And they are not of the spirit world. And so I'm grateful I can recognize them now. I mean, I didn't, when I first came to AA, I didn't know what my feelings were. I just knew I was uncomfortable, and I wanted to feel better, so I drank. And that worked for me for about, I don't know, 14 or 15 years. And then it stopped working, and actually it made things a lot worse for me. On page 93 in the 12 and 12 talks about, here we go, top of page 93, we can show kindness where we had shown none. With those we dislike, we can begin to practice justice and courtesy, perhaps going out of our way to understand them. And again, going on to say, whenever we fail, courtesy, kindness, justice, and love are the keynotes by which we may come into harmony with practically anybody. So, you know, for me, I'd want to say this. You know, I've told everybody all along that, you know, I struggled with the concept of God in my life and doing God's will. Here's the thing of it, my thinking. That was the problem all along. You know, I thought that there was certain things I should be doing and all the things I thought I should be doing and did do were very counterproductive and did not provide the desired result. And here I am, landed in AA. But the truth is, for me, what I now know is that God's will for me is to practice courtesy, kindness, justice, and love toward everybody. And it's not that I have some special or secret job to do. It's the job of that, of love, of loving people. That's really what it is. The bottom of 93, he talks about here too. Someone who knew what he was talking about once remarked that pain was the touchstone of all spiritual progress. How heartily AAs can agree with him. For we know that the pains of drinking had to come before sobriety and emotional turmoil before serenity. And that is, for me, the part where the aspect of being sober, emotional sobriety, is paramount. Not getting caught up in excess emotions and reacting in the ways I used to eat while sober. You know, because when I react to things, it usually causes the exact opposite of what I just read. It's a lot of disharmony, a lot of unloving actions and words. And as a sober person, I don't want to be that way anymore. And so I need God's help now more than ever to try to be the person He created me to be. I now know for me too, you know, I have to just change my focus. Staying in the moment, as I said, not dwelling on the past or even going into the future, but, you know, being in the world of the spirit, being in the present moment, that's where God is. I can't change the past, as we know from our serenity prayer, and the future is anyone's guess. And so this step talks about, obviously, continuing, and they do go into spot check inventories. When you have emotional upheavals, it is a good time to do a spot check inventory. Run it by your sponsor or trusted advisor. Try to find out, you know, what is it before you cause any harm to yourself or anyone else. And kind of touch base at night and see, you know, just review the day, look at what's happened and see if there's anywhere where we could have done better? Are there people I need to apologize or make something right with? And, you know, and let the day go. Because sometimes, and even, not so much now, but in the beginning, it was truly a daily slog. And I would just say, oh, thank God, this day is almost over. But it's the only day we have. It's the only day I have to, right now is it. And so, with step 10, it says here, having so considered our day, not omitting to take due note of things well done, and having searched our hearts with neither fear nor favor, we can truly thank God for the blessings we have received and sleep in good conscience. And that's for me, you know, again, counting the blessings. I always focus on what was wrong, not on all the things I have to be grateful for which there are many. And I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm done. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Deborah. So now we have some time to open things up for questions. Anybody here in the room or on Zoom, feel free on Zoom to just unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question if you have one. Who wants to start us off? Anybody? All right. Jim's going to help us out here in the room.
Hi, Jim, alcoholic. Thank you, Deborah. I don't know where you went, but I'm sure you're there somewhere.
Hi.
So, how do you go about continuing to take a personal inventory?
How do I go about it?
Yes, you.
Okay. Well,
I know how I do it.
The thing of it is, with me, if I'm disturbed, I don't do it as much as I used to, but when I'm disturbed, I would do what I did in step 4, and I would write it out. The person I was, you know, whatever the disturbance is, and how it affected me, and what was my part, and I would go over it that way. And you know, if I have that now, I can pretty. If I have a disturbance now, my goal is to be as undisturbed as quickly as possible. And I don't often have to sit down and write it out. But I can, my goal is to try to stay undisturbed and not have to get into any sort of situation where I have to make an amend afterward or anything like that. It's actually, and this is a really important thing I forgot to talk about, I can't believe I did. Because what they talked about in the 12 and 12 was, after they talked about the spiritual axiom, they talked about the, I'm sorry, here we go, talks about the first objective will be the development of self-restraint. This carries a top priority rating. When we speak or act harshly, the ability to be fair-minded and tolerant evaporates on the spot. One unkind tirade or one willful snap judgment can ruin our relations with another person for a whole day or maybe a whole year. Nothing pays off like restraint of tongue and pen. We must avoid quick-tempered criticism and furious, power-driven argument. The same goes for sulking or silent scorn. These are emotional booby traps baited with pride and vengefulness. Our first job is to sidestep the traps. When we are tempted by the bait, we should train ourselves to step back and think. for we can neither act to good purpose until the habit of self-restraint has become automatic. What did I write here? That number one, I had no power to overcome my dependence on alcohol. God has to restore me to sanity with alcohol, with my relations with people. My way was not working. I give up control of my life to God. And knowing that, trying to exert some level of self-restraint, that is how I'm working to find emotional sobriety and peace. I mean, Dan will probably be the first one to say that probably one of my obvious character defects is the lack of filter I sometimes display. Things just blah, come out. And so a lot of times, to me, I think it's funny, or whatever, and not everybody does. And self-restraint is not something I was very... I've had to work at it. I still work at self-restraint. And these are the ways that I try to get a buffer. I don't have to always say something, and I don't always have to say something immediately. I can wait. So that's how I try not to get into those jackpots. If I do, I have to look at it many times on paper. But this whole business of self-restraint is just... I had it written down in my notebook here and in the book, so it's huge for me in trying to keep myself from an emotional, not going into an excessive emotional state.
Thank you. Hey, Deborah. Eric, alcoholic. How are you?
Hi.
You mentioned a bit about staying present in the present moment and not projecting or thinking about the past a lot. What advice would you give? I don't want to sound negative towards like retired people or anything like that, but what advice would you give to a 37-year-old with 3 kids and a business that struggles to stay present? What kind of tools or things do you recommend to stay in the present moment when life gets really hectic?
Oh, life is hectic. I can't even that sounds you know what I would say to somebody? I would say talk to somebody with experience with kids, because that's not me. I don't like to give people, I like to talk about to people based on what my experience is, and I don't have any experience. I don't have any children. But I do know that in my life, in sobriety, I have gotten my plate overloaded with activity. Running here, running there, doing this, doing that, trying to be perfect, on and on. And, it gets to things. Sometimes you just got to keep, I got to keep it simple. For me right now, that's part of my self-restraint. I can't do it anymore. I just can't run here, there, and everywhere. When you have kids, I know there's not always a lot of choices about some things, but, I try to think of a way that, is everything absolutely necessary right now? You know what I mean? Just staying, bringing it to this moment and saying, what do I have to do right now? A lot of times the answer is nothing. So that's how I do it. And, people that have children and work and everything else, this too shall pass. Your children will grow up. And, you know, so it's I know it's not easy.
Anybody on Zoom? I know you're out there.
Hi, Greg. Jack here. Jack, I'm an alcoholic. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can they hear me in the live?
Hey.
Hi, gang. Sorry I couldn't be there. Anyway, Deborah, thanks for sharing with us tonight. I guess my question is, when you're working with a sponsee, what are some of the strategies you might suggest to her about practicing this step, especially early on? I mean, I know that some people recommend like a nightly sort of inventory, maybe throughout the day. You know, I think the 12 and 12 talks about maybe even, you know, annual retreats or and things like that. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that sort of thing. Thanks.
For continuing, you mean? Is that what you're talking about? For continuing? A lot of time, I don't know. I mean, I personally, I can say I've never been a writer. I mean, I'm not a person who journals. The only time I really do any writing is when I am disturbed, when there's something I have to really look at. For people that I'm sponsoring, so I don't do as a routine a nightly inventory. It's just something I never did. I know it helps a lot of people. But if I, like I said, if I'm very disturbed, I do. And, you know, it's case by case. I mean, a lot of times when you come down to it, when these disturbances with people, it's like, hey, you know what? I'm powerless. And when I'm disturbed, it's because a lot of times I'm trying to push my agenda on somebody who's not liking it. So I don't know. That's for me. So I'm powerless. I know that. And I have gotten on my knees and asked God to remove fears, asked God to remove resentments, asked God to help me in every aspect of my life, because I do not have the power. And it always comes back to power for me. And that's what I convey to others.
Who else has a question? Anybody on Zoom? Anyone on Zoom?
Hi, Deborah. It's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, I got a question for you. And it just popped into my mind. Have you ever been overly critical of yourself?
Oh my God! What? Overly critical?
You didn't live up to your own standards.
That's funny.
Oh, you're a funny man. Well, the answer is yes. I have been and can still be overly critical of myself. And have had always a hard time living up to my standards. That being said, I can tell you this. The last couple of years, I've lowered my standards. And it's like I have a new freedom and a new happiness. Trust me. All the things that I was so sure I was right about, I've learned to let go of a lot, and I think that's a benefit of time and experience, beating your head against the wall, for me.
That was good.
Anyone else?
The other part of that is I get phone calls at night from people that I sponsor, and sometimes I just tell them, put it on a shelf and pick it up the next day. Mm. Have you ever done that?
Personally, yes. Because, I mean, looking at a problem, I mean, there's not always something that can be done about it right now. There is nothing to do. And sometimes you just have to wait. And that's where, for me, it's helpful, you know, it's my little mantra, you know, thy will not mine be done. I don't know when this is going to be resolved. I don't think there's anything I can do right now. There's nothing I need to do. I have no choice but to put it on the shelf. I think that's good advice.
It is.
Anyone else have a question? No? Uh-huh. All right. Deborah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. We'll be, you're winding down. I can hardly believe 10 weeks. Wow. Okay. We'll see.